7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and week one has came, and week one is now gone. And what a week one it was.
Total clusterfuck.
Absolute clusterfuck. It was a nightmare for some, but it's done and over with. Only 16 weeks left, gentlemen, so make sure you... What's that?
It's sad.
It is sad.
Only it's almost over.
It is. It's almost gone. We're almost prepping for the 2018 NFL draft.
So let's start off with game number one of the NFL season. It was none other than the great quarterback play of Alex Smith versus the poor quarterback play of one Tom Brady for the Patriots. Chiefs won 42-27. Guys, did they switch jerseys?
Did you see that friggin' Goodell was there at the game wearing an Alex Smith jersey, flicking off all the New England fans? It was awesome.
So, needless to say, Kareem Hunt, is he now the premium running back for fantasy purposes?
No. He's a good running back. He's a top 10 running back, I'll say. Premium on the same level as Zeke, on the same level as freaking Glass Bones, David Johnson? No. But he is a very good running back.
He's in a very good system.
Correct.
He's a young rookie running back, completely hungry, but he got extremely lucky that Dante Hightower left that game. Right after that, he had that, what was that, a 75-yard reception touchdown, the first big play of the game for the Chiefs, and a big momentum switch for them. Before that, he wasn't getting that open and running his routes because Hightower was all over him, but he looked fantastic for the Chiefs, and we've seen Andy Reid, what he can do with those running backs. Pretty much every running back that has ever been in his system has been productive, but he, in my eyes, he's not as good as LeSean McCoy is physically, or Brian Westbrook, or Jamal Charles. Those are the type of running backs that have been with Andy Reid, but he's going to produce fantasy points, but don't expect the 40 points every week or anything close to that. This is probably his best fantasy game ever.
Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs, he had a very good game. A lot of people thought that pretty much once Macklin was gone, Tyreek Hill was going to be anointed the guy, and maybe that was going to hurt him because you didn't have that other wide receiver on the other side to take pressure off of you. But I thought they were creative with the ways that they got Tyreek Hill the ball in the open space. And the other thing is that I saw Tyreek Hill only had two carries out of the backfield, so that was, I think, a big thing as well for him.
It is, like Tom said, about how Andy Reid's able to do things. Andy Reid, with having two shifty speedster guys in Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, it's very valuable. You know, it's easy to say that, oh, teams will just focus on Kareem Hunt now. They'll do that. They still have to find a way to cover Tyreek Hill as well. So it's going to be a – that's why – I still think Kareem Hunt's going to be very successful. You know, a guy in our personal league is still going to be very successful by having Kareem Hunt on there. But at the end of the day, there's going to be games where, you know, they're both going to get shut down. There's a lot of good defenses on that AFC in the AFC. So I like both of them, but not every game.
Mike Gillisley, thoughts on him? He scores 3 touchdowns. Pissed me off a little bit, but... is he going to be, quote-unquote, the new LeGarrette Blount, where he's scoring 18 touchdowns this fantasy season? And is he going to take those touchdowns away from Tom Brady and Brandon Cooks and some of those other Patriots receivers?
I don't know if you can come out and say he's going to score 18 touchdowns, even with 3 in the very first week. But is he the LeGarrette Blount of this year for them? Absolutely. 100%. I feel like he has shown that he solidified that role. You were mad you had Rex Burkhead on one of your teams. Burkhead is gonna struggle to see time, I think. He's still probably going to have a big game somewhere mixed in there. But I do believe that Gillisley has shown that he's the guy for the Patriots. If they need a first down, if they need a goal line touchdown, he's the guy that can do it. So I don't necessarily think, listen, the Patriots are still going to rely on that golden arm of Tom Brady. But at the end of the day, yes, Gillisley is the guy to answer your question.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you, Tim. The only thing I'd be worried about Gillislee, look, there were three times where it was third and one, and then they went for it twice at fourth and one, where Gillislee got the carries and didn't get the first down. You can't be doing that all year for Bill Belichick. He will find someone who can get that done, and if they take that role away from Gillislee, he might be losing his goal line work as well. We've seen that in the past with Mr. Stephen Ridley. But the one big takeaway for me for this game is Tom Brady misses Julian Edelman. 100%. That offense did not look the same. They didn't have anyone that can get open on those short yardage situations when it was third and five, third and six. Normally, that's Julian Edelman's go-to area, and Tom Brady loves him. And once Edelman went out of this game, or once Amendola went out of this game, there was no one that can get open for him.
And honestly, I think that the guy that they're surprisingly missing without knowing they were going to miss him is Malcolm Mitchell. I think that they expected him to come in there and fill that Julian Edelman role. And then he went on season-ending IR as well. Brandon Cooks isn't that guy, right? He's not the guy who's just going to get open and get those tough yards for him. They're going to need Amendola to fill that role now, and hopefully he can stay healthy. I don't know if it's going to happen. I will say, though, Tom Brady seemed off to me.
Yep.
Tom Brady,
yeah, definitely.
He missed some – I think it was even in the first quarter, like that first drive, he had a wide-open receiver and overthrew him by like 3 or 4 yards right over his head. Not the Tom Brady I'm used to. So it gives me that glimmer of hope. Is Tom Brady finally on the decline? I don't know. Maybe he comes back this week now, throws up. He's playing the Saints, so he's going to have every opportunity to throw up a 50-burger on
him. Well, I'm actually pretty shocked that they did not call up one DJ Foster and let him get signed by the Cardinals. DJ Foster was a practice squad guy and a guy that knew the system. He's a running back, wide receiver, hybrid, I believe, out of, what is it, Arizona State? ASU? And
one of the Arizonas.
Yeah, and he was very good in the preseason. He had a pretty decent preseason. And with Julian Edelman going down, I definitely thought we would have seen him get called up, but instead we saw them trade for Philip Dorsett and trade away Jacoby, right?
Yeah, Brissett.
So, which may be starting this week. So
it should.
Pretty Hopefully. Interesting. let me ask you guys fantasy questions. Alex Smith, is he worth a pickup at all in fantasy?
If you're the type of player who goes flyer wire week by week with quarterback, which there are teams out there that do that, then maybe, yes. He's not someone, though, who I would ever have on my bench. So either I'm starting him or I'm letting him go and having someone else. I don't see the value there. I don't think that, listen, he scored 31 points this week. It's not going to happen every single week. Odds are he's going to be realistically between that 18 and 22 range. So if you're happy with that, your quarterback, your team's strong enough everywhere else, then absolutely, by all means, go for it. But at some point, there's going to be, listen, the Patriots defense is much improved. At some point, it's going to end.
I would not be starting Alex Smith whatsoever. I think he finishes outside the top 15 this week. The Philadelphia Eagles will be hitting him early and often. That's an improved Philadelphia defense, and people starting Smith this week, I think, are going to regret it.
Next up, we have the Jets versus the Bills. Final score of this game was 12-21, and like we predicted, LeSean McCoy was going to get a good handful of carries, had 22 carries, 110 yards.
Real quick, we all lost that game. We all had the Patriots winning, so we're all 0-1 to start. So the Bills, Jets, kind of the freaking poo bowl game of the week. But like we said start Shady McCoy, and I thought he would do better, to be perfectly honest with you. The Jets showed some fight, so not real thrilled with Shady McCoy only getting what he did. But, you know, he did what he had to do, I guess.
Yeah, Shady averaged more yards per attempt rushing the football than the Jets did passing the football. It was a ugly day for the Jets. I think it's going to be a long season for them in general. Bills, that's who we thought they were. They're going to try to run the football, and obviously it seems that Mike Tolbert is going to be that number two running back with them cutting Jonathan Williams. But it wasn't really a very good game in my eyes. I didn't watch too much of it. Saw a couple of the highlights, but I didn't want to watch this game whatsoever. Didn't want to invest a lot of time into it either.
I don't even think the fans of the team wanted to watch.
Yeah,
the
we game. Don't really have to talk too much more about this, but there are a couple guys considering being picked up on the waiver wire. Tyrod Taylor, if he's available, do you go ahead and consider picking him up?
he's a guy you could be streaming. You know, he's pretty consistent, gets those rushing yards, which helps his floor quite a bit. But it's going to be hard for him to put up those elite numbers. We're not going to see his passing numbers ever really go over 300 yards too often.
Tom, Tyrod or Alex Smith in week two?
I'd take Tyrod.
Curse for the Jets. Would you guys consider picking him up? He had 9 targets from McCown. 7 catches, 59 yards, PPR-wise. That's not too bad for that.
They're going to be throwing the ball.
And they have nobody else.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be throwing the ball a lot because they're going to be down a lot. But it's the question is always going to be who is throwing the football. So if you need a flex or wide receiver 3, that's the only spot I pick.
Remember, this is the first full week that Curse has been in the system because they just did that trade. So McCown looking for him for 9 times in this game. That's quite a bit for a wide receiver just moving over to a new team.
Remember Quincy Enunwa last year, how he was just getting peppered with targets and receptions? That's what's going to happen with Curse this year. He's on a shitty team. He's going to be the number one option right now. They're pretty much going to have to force him the ball. They need to get those running backs more touches. Like, the games Bilal Powell and Forte had, not impressive. I thought both those guys would be somewhat successful and just be littered with touches overall, and they weren't.
Moving on to the next game, we have the Baltimore Ravens and the Cincinnati Bengals. What a disappointment from the Bengals. 20-0 in the Ravens' favor. Goose egg for the Bengals.
Did you, real quick, Bills and Jets? I picked the Jets in the upset.
I picked Bills.
All right, fair enough. The Ravens and the Bengals. This is exactly what I said was going to happen. The Ravens' defense was much improved, and they were going to. I didn't see 5 turnovers from the Bengals' offense coming. The only team shut out in week one, an absolute embarrassment. I saw a thing somewhere of this is why Andy Dalton runs off the field. And it was him running off the field, and the first fan that saw him said, "Fuck you, Andy." The second fan said, threw a hat at him. And the third fan said, "We want Carson Palmer back." So it was an embarrassment at home against a division rival. You know, we thought it was going to be tough sledding, but that's a lot. Dalton looked terrible, and I don't like the way that they're splitting time between the running backs. They have to give someone a chance to get going. Whether it's Joe Mixon, whether it's Jeremy Hill, whether it's Gio Bernard, they have to give someone an opportunity to get into the groove of the game because this splitting time equally between 3 guys obviously does not work.
Yeah, make a goddamn decision.
For sure.
I think a lot of that, though, was just how Dalton was playing. Look, Gio was getting a lot of the carries into the second quarter and then the rest of the game. I believe he had 60 or 70% of the overall snaps. But that was because the game flow. They were playing like crap. The Ravens were forcing turnovers, hitting the quarterback. They were making life completely miserable for the Bengals. And the Ravens made this game short. Look at all the rushing attempts that they had. Terrence West and Buck Allen. They both look like serviceable running backs right now.
Yep.
And the loss of Danny Woodhead is a big deal, but Buck Allen's a guy you need to be looking at, need to be targeting. They're going to use him. He's a different back than Terrence West, and he's going to be filling that Danny Woodhead role, but he's a better runner in between the tackles as well.
I will say the other part of it that I talked about a lot preseason, the Bengals' loss on the offensive line is a huge deal. It's a huge flipping deal for them. And it's going to put Marvin Lewis on the hot seat. And I don't feel bad saying he's already on the hot seat. Because that terrible of a loss at home against a division rival, it's not good. I had the Ravens winning that game myself.
I had the Bengals.
I had the Bengals as well. So a little bit of a disappointment there. Next game we have... Who's next? I lost my page.
You want to do the Falcons and the Bears?
That works. Go ahead.
Probably the game of the week.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun as a Bears fan. We were talking pre-show here. This is how I hope every game goes for the Bears. They keep it close. They show some signs on defense. They show some signs on offense. But at the end of the day, they lose. You can get some solid draft picks out of it. I will say the Falcons did not show really at all what I thought they would. Devonta Freeman didn't look bad, but he didn't look great. I don't think. Tevin Coleman did not look good at all. I think that has a lot to do with the Bears' rush defense, in all honesty. And Matt Ryan and Julio Jones had maybe 2 drives where I thought they looked like the Matt Ryan and Julio Jones that we all know and love. So so much for that. Josh, I'm going to leave the floor open to you. Talk about your boy Tariq Cohen.
Well, first off, I want to talk about Austin Hooper. Because
play of the year.
If you guys did not see those stiff arms that he was throwing, it was... I felt it through the TV.
They were
like,
vicious.
Oh, my God. He was just saying, get the frick off me. And just, oh, man, it was... But, yes, Tariq Cohen brings me to my next point. I think this is a guy, again, that does need to be added. And he will be one of the top waiver wire priorities out of all people. I think everybody's going to go out there and target him in every fantasy football league. And... do I think that you should be picking him up to start him? No. I think you should pick him up and put him on your bench. But the thing is, with Tariq Cohen, he adds a different element to this team. And to be honest, Tim, because you're a Bears fan, you should be happy with Tariq Cohen. This is a Darren Sproles-like player, but I don't want to say a better version of him, but it's just he's explosive. He's something different that the Bears have never really had. They had a Matt Forte that was a very good pass catcher, but Tariq Cohen is a different type of pass catcher.
Listen, I'm labeling when Tariq Cohen's in the backfield, I'm giving them a name. I'm giving them a title. It's called the optical illusion. You have 6'8" Mike Glennon, and you have 5'8" Tariq Cohen.
But to be honest, when you do hand him the ball in the backfield, and I'm not trying to be funny, it's going to be tough to see him behind those linemen.
I'm being serious as well.
And Mike... that's where his explosiveness and his ability to cut and burst through the line where it is his advantage.
Listen, Mike Glennon is already developing scoliosis because he has to get so low just to hand the ball off to Tariq Cohen. With that said, Tariq Cohen, outside of just his cuts and everything else, there were plays where there were high caliber plays there where he went one way and literally there was one play where he went to the left
and then
cut back and got about 14-15 yards and took out about five Atlanta Falcons defenders. A great performance. I loved it. I bashed the Tariq Cohen pick. I'll be the first one to admit. I don't think this is what we are going to see all year long. The other part of this that we talked about in our group chat a lot was he was getting flipping murdered on some of those hits.
Oh, yeah.
He can't do that all year long. He's not physically big enough to continually get hit like that over and over and over. He's not. I love the game from him. I hope that he has another. I hope he has the whole season like that. I really do. I just can't. How many games has Darren Sproles ever put in a full season like that?
I think so.
Close to, right. But Darren Sproles has always been the exception, right? Not the rule. You're hoping for him to turn out like Darren Sproles. So I'm not willing to put all my eggs in that basket just yet. I think that there's other people that you can be investing in on the waiver wire this year. And we'll talk about that on another show.
Tariq Cohen will probably be the number one added waiver wire player,
for sure,
especially in PPR formats. Because right now, what else do the Bears have? Kevin White just went to the IR. He's probably done for. He's going to be like a 30-year-old rookie eventually.
Fourth-year rookie.
Yeah, but he's probably never going to play a real game, and the Bears will probably just keep re-signing him because they have an interesting front office.
Thanks.
But Cohen, we made fun of this pick. But big props to Josh. Josh picked him up in our one main league before. It was sometime last week. He was expecting him.
I picked him in the draft.
You drafted him.
Oh, okay.
I drafted him in the 16th.
That might have been because of alcohol.
I drafted him in the 14th round.
14th, okay. Yeah.
But bravo to Josh. That's the difference with when you have leagues with highly competitive people. Like, we don't have Tariq Cohen. None of the good rookies, like Galladay, is not there. Marlon Mack is not there. Anyone with any fantasy value isn't there. The only guy we have is Kerwin Williams, in all honesty.
Yeah.
I do think that you're talking about people to look for, especially if you're hurting for wide receiver or a flex. You're going to laugh at me. I don't care. But they do have to throw the ball. Kendall Wright is the wide receiver to look for on the Chicago Bears. He is a waiver wire pickup this week, especially if you're late in the waiver wire process, even potentially a Marcus Wheaton. He's been hurt, but they're going to have to throw the football, again, especially against a solid run defense in Tampa Bay.
If I had to pick one wide receiver to choose from, it'd probably be Josh Bellamy, just because he's been around the offense. I don't like Josh Bellamy. I don't think he's that good, but I just think it's – I think he's the guy that Mike Glennon might throw the ball to and feel comfortable with. But I think if you can pick up Tariq Cohen and throw him in the flex, I feel like you're fine in a PPR league. He's going to get targets. He got 12 targets last week. If he gets half of that, that's more than every other wide receiver that was targeted on the team last week.
Tariq Cohen under 8 points this week.
Whatever.
In PPR?
Yes.
You crazy, Joe.
Yeah, there's no way. Next game, we have the Arizona Cardinals versus the Detroit Lions. Lions win, scoring freaking 20 points in the fourth quarter.
This game was an absolute train wreck.
Oh, none of us had the Bears, right?
No.
No,
we all had Lions. Okay. I watched, I had it on Red Zone, and then I switched on something else, and it was a nightmare of a game. Stafford looked like garbage, had a pick six early. Why am I blanking on the Cardinals quarterback right now? Carson Palmer looked absolutely god. Talk about showing your age. You know, we talked about that with Brady. Carson Palmer listen, Detroit's defense is improved. They're not that good. They made Carson Palmer look like a friggin' Deshaun Kaiser. I mean, he looked absolutely horrendous. And then, like you said, the Lions at home, you expect that to happen. You expect Matthew Stafford to be like, hey, you know what? We don't suck. Let's step it up here in the fourth quarter and put the pedal to the floor, and that's exactly what they did. I had the Cardinals chosen to win. Lions did not let that happen, so props to the Lions.
And the Lions, they had 8 fourth quarter comebacks last season. They had another one. Matthew Stafford, like you brought up, Tim, his first pass since becoming the highest paid quarterback was a pick six.
At least it was for a touchdown.
Yeah. So that's interesting. That Lions run game struggled. The one thing you have to be happy about if you're Amir Abdullah owner is that he got touches. He got 15 rushing attempts, only for 30 yards, so not very good. But the Cardinals, it was an ugly game for them. They blew this game. David Johnson went out. He had a costly fumble, which was after he broke his wrist. So it's going to be interesting for the Cardinals, but they do have a cakewalk game next week.
There's a stat I don't have in front of me. Since over the last two seasons, when teams are down and losing in the fourth quarter, like teams like the Bears were 2-14, to like 1-15. There were like crazy stats like that. The Lions 9-7. Yep. In the last 2 years, went down in the fourth quarter. That's their MO.
Kenny Galladay scoring 2 touchdowns.
Here we go.
I just wanted to talk about him real quick. Is there a real threat of him becoming that new number one or number two go-to option besides Golden Tate?
I think right now he has the Anquan Boldin role from last year, but he's more explosive. He could stretch the field better than Anquan Boldin can. It was over a 50-yard touchdown against the Cardinals. But he's going to be fantasy relevant. Right now, maybe your wide receiver 3 or a flex play, but I wouldn't be gauging him and saying that he's a wide receiver 1 or 2 right now after one big week.
Marvin Jones only had 2 targets in the passing game. Is that, if you're a Marvin Jones owner, is there need to worry with that?
Hell yeah, there is.
Absolutely, there is. I have the thing I was talking about before. Most games trailing in the fourth quarter over the last two seasons. Jaguars 14, 1-13. 49ers 14, 1-13. Bears 14, 0-14. Browns 16, 0-16. Lions 16, 9-7. That's insane.
It's probably not real. Probably just made all those stats up.
Wow. Way to bring some credibility to the show, Josh. Good stuff.
Anything else you guys want to talk about that game? Amir Abdullah, is there a need to worry with that running game, or is there going to be a running back that takes over eventually? Is he going to be the guy?
I think he's still the guy. I think it is a tough Arizona defense. The first 3 quarters, they played out of their minds. They played fantastic. They had that pick six. And then, like I said, it was just the fourth quarter. They were on the field too much. That's all it was. They had to give in.
Abdullah is a guy you should be targeting around week 4 or 5. He's going to have really bad first few weeks, tough matchups, and then try to get him when the owner's sick and tired of him.
Tom, we did have the Lions, me and you, in that game. Tim, you had the Cardinals, like yep. You said. Next game, we have the Eagles versus the Redskins. We all got this game wrong. Incorrect. Eagles win 30, Redskins 17.
You like that? No, we don't like that. Kirk Cousins, you dick.
He did not play well, but the Eagles defense, they're for real. They can get after the quarterback. They shut down Kirk Cousins, that running game. They pretty much controlled this game with their front seven.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree. The Redskins were not able to do anything that they wanted to. Outside of that Chris Thompson touchdown out of the backfield, they were hot garbage.
Yep.
Rob Kelly looked terrible. And, I mean, Chris Thompson did what Chris Thompson had to do. I don't know. Did P. Ryan even get any play?
No, he didn't look play one snap.
I didn't think he did. I know I was looking for him. But props to the Eagles. You saw them. I'm concerned a little bit for them in terms of Elshon Jeffrey. They tried to get it to him a couple times, but he did not look great. They got the ball around. Otherwise, Wentz looked okay. Looked like a serviceable quarterback, like he's going to be.
What about Nelson Aguilar, your boy?
He is. Nelson Aguilar is another top five, I would say, waiver wire target for people. The Eagles, and it could just be because of the game that they were playing, it could just be a week one thing, but the Eagles had at least 10 plays specifically designed for Nelson Aguilar. Between screens, between deep balls, they had him all over the field. I don't know if he's just finally healthy or if it's because of Tom's secret week or year three wide receiver curse that they say that they finally all realize how to play football. Nelson Aguilar looked like a world beater at times.
Last guy on the Eagles I want to talk about. Actually, two last guys I want to talk about. Zach Ertz and LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount ended up scoring a touchdown, not rushing, but receiving. And if you guys watched that, it was the ugliest fucking move I've ever seen. Oh, God, it was terrible. I thought he was going to fall over just doing it. But Zach Ertz, thrown to 8 times, 8 catches, 93 yards. PPR gold right there.
You have to love seeing that from Zach Ertz. We've seen the last few seasons that he's pretty much only produced the last quarter of the regular season and has kind of been hot garbage for the first 3 quarters of the season for you. But you have to like him starting off hot. Him and Carson Wentz have a good relationship. He is that typical safety blanket for the young quarterback, and he's going to get used a lot, and it's a good thing for him.
Yeah, we're getting ready for our Pro-Am, and when we were talking, what was it, the Pro-Am or the WBLZ League? It's one of the two, and when we were trying to decide between the last couple of players, it was between Ertz and a wide receiver or whatever, and you're like, oh, go ahead, go with your boy Ertz. I'm like, he is going to be a PPR slot machine.
Well, and that's what, you know, in our personal league, you took Zach Ertz, leaving me Tyler Eifert. Yeah. You know, I was going to get one of them. It all depended on who you took. And it just proves that already. You know, 9.3 points for Ertz. I'm sorry. That was in standard. But Zach Ertz, you know, went and he looked fantastic. He had, 17.3 points. Looks great. Tyler Eifert, 1 target the whole game.
Yeah.
So, obviously, the Bengals had a shit show of a game, but Ertz, if he's the safety net for Carson Wentz, to your point, Josh, is he will be the PPR machine.
Yeah, I don't know. I was just really high on Ertz this year, and I just felt it. Next game, we have the Jaguars versus the Texans. Guys, the Texans defense looking rough.
I was absolutely shocked at this game. You know, Houston just had that hurricane come through, flooded their whole city. I thought they were going to come out and play the best football that we've ever seen from the Houston Texans, and they did the exact opposite. The Jaguars' defense was that was the side of the football that dominated in this game. 10 sacks, absolutely insane. Calais Campbell showed why they paid him big bucks. He had 4 sacks in this game. Jaguars completely dominated this game. They were able to run the football. They kept the football out of Blake Bortles' hand. Huge loss, though, with Allen Robinson, their number one wide receiver with a torn ACL.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars went out there and looked fantastic. I will say a couple things about this. Yeah, Calais Campbell, he was phenomenal. There was actually a play that I saw watching highlights today where they actually should have had another sack. The guy got through the line so early that he thought it was a screenplay, and he stopped to look to the wide receiver and then realize, oh no, and then went for the quarterback and it just didn't work out. Jacksonville's defense is great. They're not that great, so don't expect that to be an every week thing. With that being said, for the Houston Texans, Tom Savage should never play a snap ever again in the NFL. What are you shaking your head for?
Because you're hitting my table.
Oh, I don't care about your table. Listen, Deshaun Watson is the guy. Let him go out there. See what you have. I am the farthest away from saying that you should start rookie quarterbacks. I'm way behind you guys. I like rookie quarterbacks sitting out a year. With that being said, Savage is so incredibly bad. He's so awful. There was the play in the, I believe it was the third quarter. He got strip sacked and immediately just started bitching that his arm was going forward, complaining. He ends up being right. They challenged. He was right. They get the ball back. Two plays later, strip sacked again. It's just, he has no timing. He's not able to get the ball out. He has no relationship with any of the wide receivers whatsoever. Watson was at least able to get DeAndre Hopkins a touchdown. He saw it there. I know, Josh, you were texting out how all three of the Texans' tight ends went out with concussions.
Yeah. And C.J. Fedorowicz, he is now on IR. So.
Oh, Jesus.
Brian Cushing's out again. I think they have five guys not playing.
I saw that. Well, J.J. Watt, I will say, one of my favorite and least favorite, J.J. Watt, him coming out of the tunnel, that reaction. Very rarely do I still get goosebumps watching anything in sports. That was awesome.
Did you guys see his
press conference?
Press conference afterwards.
Awesome. That's exactly what I was just going to get to.
Just tape it up.
Yeah, that was the most ridiculous thing in the world. He's like, yeah, you know, my bone popped through the skin. Just tape it up.
Well, the best was that was it. The best part was even the report. The report was like, yeah, we saw you went down with a finger injury there in the third quarter. What exactly happened? Yeah, just, you know, the bone popped through the skin. No big deal. Taped it up. Freaking God.
Something else right there.
He's a man.
But yeah, we all picked the Houston Texans to win this game. And let's go to the other side of the ball. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they ended up running the ball down the throats of the Texans. And I think that's the idea for the Texans. They want to keep control of the game flow, run the ball as much as you can. Don't let Blake Bortles make mistakes, and just let him manage the game. I think we have a new Alex Smith, I guess, on our hands here.
Ooh, easy there. I'm not a huge Alex Smith fan, but Blake Bortles dreams every night that he can grow up to be Alex Smith. Blake Bortles is still not there.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alex Smith is game manager. They're not even going to let him manage the game. That's the thing.
Yeah, but even so, Josh, Blake Bortles still missed a lot of throws throughout this game. He overthrew people consistently. The only reason that they were as effective as they were was because Leonard Fournette was able to slow the game down, and that defense was dominant. The defense is going to be good. Leonard Fournette's going to be good, but this is still probably a best-case scenario of 500 team, in my personal opinion. They're lucky that they get to play the Texans again at home with a potentially a rookie quarterback. They're lucky that they get to play the Colts that are banged up. Who knows when Andrew Luck's going to play again? That defense looked horrendous. That's four games right there. That's potentially four wins, even if it's three, so be it. They're in good shape. With that being said, Blake Bortles is still just a freaking train wreck, in my opinion.
Thoughts? Nothing else? Next game, we are going to go to the Raiders and the Titans. Raiders 26, Titans 16, and Derek Carr came out, threw 262 yards and two touchdowns. Marshawn Lynch, if you guys have not seen the play, do yourselves a favor. Go on Twitter, go on YouTube, go on anything, and look at him destroy the defensive tackle for the Titans. And it is one of the most impressive plays you will ever see. And that man is not a small defensive lineman.
No, he was over 300 pounds. I can't remember who it was. I saw someone edited a video that he hits him, and then instantly it just goes, boof, boof, and it's, I'm back on the screen. Dirty. This is the game. I literally had this game on. Very first thing I saw of any football on Sunday was the onside kick. And the second that happened, I'm like, this is going to be a fucked up week. And it sure was. It absolutely was. This was the game of the week, in my opinion. Tons of stars, tons of talent, and it was fantastic. I will say, Tom, I want to ask your opinion. How worried are you about Amari? Because Amari had quite a few drops in that game. Adoree Jackson looked good against him. Adoree Jackson played very well. I know he still had a touchdown, which that touchdown was badass, by the way. But I was a little bit concerned. He dropped in that one drive in the second quarter, three potential touchdowns he had.
Not worried.
Okay. I hope I have him in one of my leagues as well, but.
He still put up good numbers. He was getting red zone targets, which has been his biggest issue. Yeah, he had the three consecutive throws on that one drive. It is what it is. Mari is growing. He's a year three wide receiver, but I'm content with how he performed in this game. Adoree Jackson had a good game. He was playing physical with the wide receivers for the Raiders, but overall, like you said, this is probably the game of the week. There's a lot of telling points to both these teams. Right, yep. Now, the Titans are being talked up as one of the best up-and-coming young teams, and that's where the Raiders were last season, and the Raiders came out and showed that they're a true contender in the AFC. But I'm happy with how the Raiders use Marshawn Lynch. That is smart. They're not driving him into the ground like some fantasy analysts were thinking they would. He's going to be limited on touches all year. He will be finding the end zone, but it's going to be a lot of car show in my eyes.
I was happy to see Amari go beast mode, that touchdown. If you haven't seen it, it's another one. Go look. He caught the ball. He was at, what, like the 4 or 5 yard line? It was essentially tackled and then stayed on his feet and just drove the whole pile into the end zone. What are your opinions on Marcus Mariota? I was kind of disappointed, to be perfectly honest with you guys.
Well, the whole fantasy community has been anointing him as the best young quarterback in the NFL. And it's just not the right system for that in my eyes. They got away from what they do best. They were not running the ball that effectively, and they were putting the football in Marcus Mariota's hands more often, and then ended up losing the game and scored under 20 points. They need to stick what they do well. They have a fantastic offensive line. Run the hell out of Murray and Henry, and they'll be more successful. That Mariota's game right now, in my eyes, is not to be that pocket passer, elite throwing guy like the Drew Breeses, Tom Brady's in the NFL right now. And that's what they're trying to put on this kid's shoulder, and that's not what it is.
I think they're trying to make a Jameis Winston-style quarterback a Tom Brady passer, and it doesn't make sense to me. I was happy to see, though, Josh, your thoughts on Corey Davis. Yeah. Corey Davis looked – I was pleasantly surprised, to be
Corey
honest.
Davis, 10 targets on the day, most – targets out of any wide receiver for the Titans. Pretty impressive for a young wide receiver that has not practiced really at all with anybody, and I think that speaks volumes to his talent overall. Getting 10 targets and not really practicing with anybody, that's huge. And he had, what, 6 catches for just under 70 yards? No touchdown, obviously, but I think that is very encouraging. As long as he comes out of that week one with no injury, which I have not heard of any setbacks whatsoever with the hamstring. So good for him. But again, that kind of brings to Tom's point. I feel like they're trying to make him that pocket passer, Mariota-wise. And you got to stick to your bread and butter. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Mariota can run the ball. He ran for a touchdown. And then pass when you need to. And as much as I like Corey Davis, he's a very great pass catcher. But it's tough to rely on the pass when you have such great offensive line and such great runners.
They really need to watch the Dallas Cowboys play football. They have the potential to be that type of offense, that type of team that control the
clock. You think Mariota's got the talent to play like Dak? And we'll get to it in a second here.
Dallas's run game makes Dak Prescott's job extremely easy.
It does. Sure,
and that's what the running game can do for Marcus Mariota. That's my opinion.
And I think they have a wide receiver that could be the caliber of wide receiver as Dez. Obviously, we don't know if Corey Davis is going to be...
You mean Cole Beasley?
And Dez, like, that catch was pretty impressive. But, I mean, Corey Davis could be the caliber of a wide receiver eventually. So, but regardless, let's move on to the next game. We have the Steelers, 21, the Browns, 18. And I want to first start off, because you are an MMA fan.
Yes.
The takedown attempt and the leg lock of Ben Roethlisberger. What'd you think?
I wasn't a fan. Listen, there were a lot of plays in this game. If you're on Twitter at all with any NFL obsessed fans, the Steelers were equally as dirty in this game. The Steelers had a lot of plays. Even the young T.J. Watt, who had a fantastic game.
Awesome game.
You guys see that interception?
Absolutely. Woo! And that came after the play after a 15-yard personal foul where the play was dead and he went helmet to helmet on someone. The Steelers were equally as dirty. If you go back and watch, listen, it sucks, right? But this is AFC East football. This is what they do. North. No, I'm sorry, AFC North. Thank you. It's a physical league. They're rough. I think it was more of the Browns saying, "Hey, F you. We're not going to get pushed around. We're not the measly Browns anymore," right?
I'm excited to see what the Browns can do. They have, looking at Kizer, as much as I'm not a fan of Kizer whatsoever, he actually looked okay in this offense. And the game was ugly, yes. They didn't have a very good running game going on, but either did the Steelers, and that's what I think both teams wanted to do. Once the game wasn't going their way, they wanted to keep it kind of close. And there was one funny thing that I saw on Twitter. Some random person, I think, put on Twitter, said, "Real cool, Le'Veon Bell, you're averaging under 2 yards per carry," and he liked the tweet. And then they commented on there, and they go, "Oh, real cool for liking the tweet. Why did you like it?" "Because I thought it was funny." And that's when he said, I just think it's really funny, somebody of Le'Veon Bell's character or like star, you know, personality. He doesn't care what anybody thinks as long as they win.
For the Steelers, I think this is a big win for them. It's interdivision. It's on the road where they've struggled at times with the quarterback play. Le'Veon Bell hadn't been there a lot, right? Antonio Brown had a big day. So it's what they wanted. They essentially survived a tough division game with Big Ben and Antonio Brown, right? That's really it. And the defense. That's it. That's what they brought to Cleveland. With that being said, for the Browns, I like it for them, but what scares me for the Cleveland Browns is the Pittsburgh Steelers last year, obviously it's a different defense, but had like a bottom, I think outside of the top 25 rush defense, and they did nothing. Isaiah Crowell looked terrible. Duke Johnson looked serviceable catching the ball out of the backfield, but the Browns need to establish a running game with the young quarterback in DeShone Kizer. Kizer, who I have bashed at nauseum with you, Josh, looked fantastic. I was so proud of him. I was so happy for him. See him go out there when they scored that touchdown. It was a rushing touchdown, wasn't it? Was it his first one? His first touchdown was a rushing touchdown. Props. I was so happy to see that for him. They kept the game close. Props to the Browns. Props to DeShone Kizer. I hope the Browns have a similar season to the Bears. Keep all the games close. Keep your fans engaged and get some high picks. Because like you said, I think the Browns are on the precipice of something great. They have a lot of young talent. They got all the bullshit out of there. They're not bringing Josh Gordon back, Josh, okay? They're not bringing him back. They have a lot of young talent. I hope they are able to see some success this year.
All right, let's move on to the next game. It is the Colts versus the Rams. We will only talk about this shortly. Scott Tolzien, I think it's safe to say, guys, he is not the quarterback that we need for the Colts. Tom, I think you can agree to that. Jacoby should be the week two starter. At least he kind of gives them a shot. I just feel for a lot of the other, for some of these wide receivers on this team. T.Y. Hilton, his fantasy production is going to take a huge hit if Tolzien is going to keep throwing him the ball.
Tolzien was the worst quarterback of week one. That's all I got to say.
Honestly, I think the Colts are in a situation, you know, when a team like brings up or puts in a bad pitcher in baseball and he's just like terrible. And then by the time you get to like the 8th or 9th inning, they have like a position player playing. Like, I'm fully expecting Frank Gore to play quarterback at some time, at some point this year. The Colts need Andrew Luck. They need him bad. If I'm the Colts, I am starting Jacoby Brissett every single week until Andrew Luck gets back. I do not let Scott Tolzien see it. I would cut Scott Tolzien. Do not let him even see the field. He is terrible. I'm not even a Colts hater. I like to make fun of the Colts because I hate Tom, but they made the Rams defense look like the 85 Bears.
Well, to give the Rams defense credit, they were really, really good this game. There were a couple picks that were made where it was full extension, and it looked like the throw was spot on. And a couple pick sixes. There were two of them, right?
Yep.
Two pick sixes, yep. And another interception that was just the two interceptions, pick sixes. But I don't know. I thought the defense still played pretty decent, even though that they were playing Scott Tolzien.
And as much as I don't want fantasy owners to get overexcited about the Rams, just based off this one performance, Aaron Donald is coming back. He's expected to play now week two. So, you know, that's a good thing. You know, they showed already that they're great, and now they get their best pass rusher back as well. So, huge addition for them. And maybe the Rams are onto something. Who knows?
My favorite part about this game was Hecker. I believe he got a contract extension as well. But he was punting the ball very, very well. There was a breakdown from Pat McAfee. If you guys have not seen it, do yourselves a favor and check it out. So Johnny Hecker actually dropped the ball sideways. So when he struck it, he was hitting the ball sideways. Basically, what happens is the ball will fly in the air, bounce, and go directly out of bounds, shoot off to the right. But my favorite part about it was Pat McAfee afterwards, and he goes, "All right, yeah, let's see this. Oh, high five. Let's see an awesome celebration. Oh, yeah, normal Caucasian white guy celebration. High five." And that was it. So
my favorite part about this game, even though it's against a bad defense, Jared Goff showing some signs of improvement. That's what I want. I have a second-year quarterback, right? Second year or third year? I believe it's a second-year quarterback showing some signs of improvement. That's what I wanted to see. I like seeing someone who has struggled mightily throughout the early parts of his career. Jared Goff showing some success there.
Well, yeah, they got him 42 weapons. Might as well try to use them.
And Cooper Kupp, baby.
Next game, we have the Carolina Panthers versus the 49ers. Carolina wins 23-3. Also, that last game, who had that game right? Myself and Tim.
Yep. The Carolina Panthers, listen, they went cross-country and did what they had to do. They weren't overly impressive. I would say probably Christian McCaffrey was probably a pretty big disappointment for them. He played decent, but I think they expected more, in all honesty. But no, there wasn't really much to this game. The Panthers did what they had to do, and the 49ers were the 49ers.
I think the biggest thing with Christian McCaffrey, you can't overuse him. You have to pick and choose your spots. He's not, like we've said before, he's not going to be the guy that's going to get 20, 30 carries a game. You can't do that. And you have to pick and choose your stuff. He's a weapon. You have to use him as that, and you can't overuse him.
Yeah, the Panthers showed that they do have that little special playbook for McCaffrey. He's going to get his looks, but it's still, in my eyes, it's majority Jonathan Stewart's backfield. Cam Newton overall in this game looked like a quarterback coming off shoulder surgery that he had. He did not look as accurate, as crisp. He looked like that late season Cam Newton last year where he was throwing overthrows, missed a couple wide open receivers. The score should have been a lot worse. This Panthers defense played extremely well. Luke Kuechly is healthy. That front seven is healthy. If this defense could stay, if they could stay healthy, stay fresh, they're going to be very good this year and compete in the NFC South. They got a lot of old guys on this defense. I believe they have the oldest starting defense in the NFL right now.
We all got this game correct, and what do you guys think of the 49ers? Is there any, I don't want to say hope, but is there anything with this team? Brian Hoyer, quarterback?
They'll probably beat the Colts week five if Luck's not playing.
No, Luck should be back by then.
We'll see.
Hopefully. Let's move on to the Seahawks versus the Packers. Good game, but bad game at the same time.
This is another game where not having an offensive line, it just showed. It was very similar to the Houston Texans game where their offense could not really do anything. The Packers' D-line looked like world beaters out there. They do have a couple studs on that D-line, but I don't think their defense is nearly as good as they looked in this game. Seattle's defense, they looked as good as I thought they would be, though. Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers had that long touchdown pass that was pretty much the game changer in this game. But overall, big time win for the Packers. The Seahawks are a team that, in my eyes, would be fighting for that number one overall seed with the Packers. But if this team could stay healthy, the Green Bay Packers will be my favorite in the NFC.
Did I send you guys the picture of it was?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Seahawks offensive line, and it was three of them running after four of the Packers defensive linemen and Russell Wilson in the background and saying, "Good thing we addressed our offensive line," or something like that. It's exactly what I thought was going to happen. I thought the Packers would be a little bit more dominant, to be honest with you. But 17-9, it's 100% what I saw happening. Green Bay in Green Bay, no doubt.
Seahawks, running back to own. Yeah, who is
here
it?
Here we go.
I wouldn't want to own any of them, but I believe Carson led the team in total snaps.
29.
And did he have the most yards as well?
He did.
I wish CJ Procise could be healthy. I think he would be the back to own, and he could be the back to own. It's pretty similar to how Ty Montgomery is going to be the back for the Packers right now. But that old line for Seattle, it's going to be troublesome for any of these offensive weapons. And I wanted to kick Jimmy Graham in the dick. I think he had three or four drops in that game. And
it was bad.
I know at least two of them would have been first downs and would have got the Seahawks on the other side of the field. It was disgusting play by Jimmy Graham.
Josh wants to build up Chris Carson and his attempts and say he's the guy. That's fine. Chris Carson is one of the main reasons why the Packers rush defense was one of the very best in week one of the season. So
he was the only guy that did anything. So
I get that, but
he was one of two NFL running backs this week with over five carries. That's average over 5 yards per carry.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty good.
There's only two of them.
That's like saying Scott Tolzien's the guy to own in Indianapolis.
Needless to say, Eddie Lacy had 5 rushes for 3 yards. C.J. Procise had 4 rushes for 11. Chris Carson had 6 for 39. Also had 1 reception for 10 yards. So I'm sorry, that's not terrible for a 7th round rookie running back that basically was not supposed to be even making this team, because they also had drawn a blank on his name that signed with another team that they ended up cutting. But
Collins?
Yeah, Collins. Yeah, Alex Collins. So I'm sorry. I think Chris Carson, he showed something, and if Rawls can't stay healthy, I think Chris Carson's going to be the guy from here on out. I don't think it's worth a waiver claim at this point in time. Maybe later on in the season if Rawls is gonna be injured, not ready to go, but I think Chris Carson will be the guy. Eddie Lacy, only 7 snaps, I believe.
Ugly.
Eddie, yikes.
Next game we have is, actually, did we all get that game right or wrong?
I got it right.
We all got that right there. Awesome. Sounds fantastic.
Sunday Night Football.
Yep, next game, Dallas and the Giants. Go ahead.
So, I'll tell you what. I watched some of the red zone, you know, I watched a lot of the replays, and Sunday night, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go over to a buddy's house, Cowboys Giants, all excited, we'll have a couple beers, we'll hang out, we'll relax. Probably one of the worst full games I've ever watched. It was so, the Giants ruined Sunday Night Football this year. They were bad. They weren't just bad, they were awful. They were horrendous. Nothing about what the Giants did went right. Their defense that I have touted very highly about how improved they are, how great they look, Dak Prescott shredded them. Plain and simple. I know he only had something like 250, just over 250 yards, but he had a presence there that made you think that there was nothing that the Giants could do to stop him. So props to him. I've never been a big Dak supporter. He went out there and proved why he is that good. He doesn't turn the ball over. Dak Prescott is an Alex Smith-esque quarterback. Controls the game, and actually a little bit better because he's got some big playability as well. That running back with Ezekiel Elliott in the backfield obviously helps big time. That offensive line is the biggest asset that anyone could ask for. And the defense, even though it's young, Jalen Smith, I want to shout you out, brother. 7 tackles in your NFL debut. He looked fantastic. I was extremely excited for him. The Giants are going to have a long season, gentlemen. They're going to have a real long season. Even when OBJ does come back, they're going to have a long year.
If I was a Giants fan, though, and you tell me the Cowboys only scored 19 points on you week one, I would have thought I won the football game. You could say Dak shredded them. They only gave up 1 touchdown to the Dallas Cowboys, which was one of the best offenses in the NFL last year. Zeke Elliott was healthy, had 140 total yards, and you still only gave up 19 points. The big issue in this game was just the Giants' offense, their offensive line. Eli Manning was running for his life this whole game. Those Dallas Cowboys pass rushers looked like they were the 85 Bears. You brought that up earlier.
Yep.
They were getting after him pretty much every play. Anytime he would throw the football, they could not run the football. Paul Perkins is not the answer. I don't think AP is that great right now, but the Giants should be calling and seeing if they could get him on their team right now.
Shredded was the wrong term to use. I should have said picked apart, because that's what he did.
It was a bend but don't break
exactly
defense.
Next game, we have the Saints versus the Vikings. Saints lose 19-29.
Sam Bradford. That's all I have to say. Another guy, as down as I've been about Dak Prescott, I've been even way, way more down on Sam Bradford. And he went out there finally after so many years and put out this type of game. I've never seen this out of Sam Bradford.
It was his best game of his career, and we saw earlier in the week with Alex Smith and Sam Bradford. Both those guys are known for being captain checkdown. Yep. And they decided to air the freaking ball out this week. They look good at it, those receivers. The white guy from the Vikings looked good. Yep. Diggs looked fantastic for the Vikings. Dalvin Cook, that offense looks completely changed. Five new offensive linemen. They put it together. That offense looks very good. But they did it against the Saints. So I'm not taking too much
correct
into it.
Correct. But this is the first time in his career, and they've played bad defenses yes before. They played the Bears twice a year. Last year, Sam Bradford was finally like, that's Sam Bradford from Oklahoma.
Yep.
First time.
The top two rated quarterbacks for the year so far, Alex Smith and Sam Bradford.
Crazy.
The only thing I got to say about the Saints is I know they, I think Mike in our group chat was talking about three-headed monster with Adrian Peterson, Alvin Kamara, and Mark Ingram. Don't. Just throw the ball. That's what your team does. I know you're trying to transition to this run strong, run heavy offense. Throw the ball. That's what you need to do.
If he is not drafted or if he's not already picked up, Alvin Kamara is a running back to own. AP and Mark Ingram, they're going to figure that shit out quick. AP is already having problems with the coaches. And like we said prior, Ingram and AP are the same player. They're only going to have one. Pick up Alvin Kamara if he's there.
Last game of the season, we have the Chargers versus the Broncos. Second Monday night game. The Broncos end up winning 24-21.
I loved everything about this game except for the announcing crew from top to bottom. Rex Ryan and the chick. They finally put a woman back on announcing an NFL game for the first time since I believe the 80s is what I saw. And she was terrible.
She was bad.
And the sideline reporter that they had, did you see that thing about him? Oh, go watch the video about him talking about the new Broncos head coach and Vance
that was
McDonald
bad.
Ray is the Broncos
Vance
coach?
Joseph.
Vance Joseph, thank you. And basically, just go watch it. I can't even explain it. Everything about it was terrible. I'm not exaggerating you when I say I put it on mute because it was that bad. They were all just absolutely terrible. Rex Ryan should not be talking football outside of being a coach to anyone ever again.
Yeah. This wasn't a big fan of this game until the fourth quarter when the Chargers decided to play some football. Keenan Allen kind of screwed the Chargers in my eyes with that dumbass penalty. Their defense came out to play. We saw Joey Bosa come out, get a couple sacks in this game. Good to see the second-year prodigy come out. But wasn't too impressed with the Chargers. I had them winning this football game. And I was expecting more out of that offense.
I feel bad for the Chargers rookie kicker. I know you guys were talking about him on draft day. Keep your head up. He makes the kick, but they call the timeout, and it goes and gets blocked. So, listen, keep your head up. His first career NFL kick. Tough way to have everything play out. You know, you'll have more of them. He seems like a solid kicker. He started kicking like eighth grade or something like that when he moved to the States, so. But no, like you said, game sucked until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think this is another game where they relied so much on the run that there was no passing game until later on in the game. And I think if you have a Tyrell Williams, you have a Travis Benjamin, you have a Keenan Allen, you have an Antonio Gates, you know, use those weapons. That's another team that needs to throw the ball. Phillip Rivers is a guy that can throw the ball. Do it.
They were playing one of the best secondaries in the NFL.
Yeah, still.
To be fair. And in the fourth quarter, when they did, to your point, Josh, they had success. So maybe they should have started earlier.
Anything else, guys? What team were you most impressed with, and what team were you most disappointed with?
Most impressed with the Kansas City Chiefs, what they did to the New England Patriots. It was one of the worst ass-kickings of the week. Most disappointed was the Colts.
Most impressed, I'm going to say the Oakland Raiders. They had a big game on the road against the Tennessee Titans. So I'll give there. The worst, I'll say the New England Patriots. At home, you know, on a banner night, Tom Brady something like 12-2 on opening night. And they shit the bed in the second half.
Most impressed, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I thought it was a very good game. I thought it was a recipe for a loss to begin the season. And most disappointed, the Houston Texans. I just...
Fair enough.
Yeah, tough game. That's all I got. Anything else?
Nope.
That's it.
All right, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We have another one coming for you the next couple days, or another two. Be on the lookout. It should be our predictions for week two. Also, some priority additions you need to make, some shocking performances, and then also another episode after that, which is going to be our fantasy predictions and forecast for those positions. So be on the lookout for those episodes. And again, we are Pony Keg Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, at Pony Keg Tim. Email us, ponykegsports@gmail.com. Also remember, the jersey raffle will be going on week 8 of the NFL season. Get yourself a signed Le'Veon Bell jersey. And until next time, we'll see you.
Peace.